The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
This is the sexy Saiyan Eric Jaden, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Are you shy? Have you ever wanted to deliver a special message to that special someone, but have been too shy to do it? Well, that all changes today, as Turnbuckle Tabloid presents WrestleGram. Turnbuckle Tabloid gets for you wrestlers from in the ring and in the grave to send personal messages to your special someones for any special occasion you have to offer. Here's an example of our program as Ultimate Warrior sends a special message for Lisa's 8th grade graduation.
The Ultimate Warrior has learned that you are going to be going up to the next level in your education. The moons, the stars, the sun, and all rainbows have aligned to make you the smarter, the bigger, and more aligned genius than you are. Take it to the next level of your education. The Ultimate Warrior knows how it to be the highest level of the next being. The next being comes from within. You are the strongest of the strong, the best of the best, the best of the best of the best of the best, and also the best of the best of the best, and even the best of the best of other than the best. The Ultimate Warrior understands what it feels like to earn your degree. The higher learning, the heavenly powers, the knowledge of mind, of those of being, of those of being, of those of being, being of those of being of those. The Ultimate Warrior knows how to be smart! Congratulations on your graduation.
Here's another example of WrestleGram as Drew McIntyre receives a special request from a friend complaining about his displeasure from another friend in the club.
Yeah, who it is?
Hello, is this John?
Yeah, what up?
What's going on, buddy? This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, here to tell you about your experience last night in the club.
Okay.
I was paid $5.99 to tell you that you were a dirty piece of shit last night and that you blew off your friend for pussy.
What?
Do you want me to claymore you in the fucking face? You heard me.
Yes, alright.
Why did you abandon your friend last night?
Okay, I gotta go.
Is this good enough? Alright, listen, man. Fuck off. Get the fuck out of here.
Are you tired of the same old political telemarketers? Recommend WrestleGram so you can get phone calls like this.
Hey, people from Phillip County, West Virginia. This is Jesse the Body Ventura, former governor of Minnesota. Make sure you go out and vote for Charles R. Dealey. Charles R. Dealey, the man who knows what your county needs. Charles R. Dealey is the man who is recognized for his love of the county, love for the people, and the love for farm animals. Do not think about his charge of sexual misconduct with goats. That was 20 years ago and does not really consider anything that's really connected to what's going on in this day and age. Charles R. Dealey for your county. This is Jesse the Body Ventura, former governor of Minnesota.
You could buy a WrestleGram today for a friend, a loved one, an associate, or any other scumbag in your life that you care for. WrestleGram, the wrestling audio greeting card.
WrestleGram, each audio is $2.99 per serving, and also an additional $5.99 for anything outside of the United States and Puerto Rico area. WrestleGram, a promotion paid for and distributed by Turnbuckle Tabloid.
What's up? I'm RGT85, and you are listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Give me that fucking mic!
Turnbuckle Tabloid, cutting a promo.
This past week, I was honored to be asked to be a guest at the Independent Wrestling Hall of Fame here in New York City. GCW Game Changer Wrestling put together this Hall of Fame, and I believe it might be the first of its kind. Maybe not only in New York City, but everywhere. It was a very good idea for the wrestling community to acknowledge and honor those in the independent wrestling community. I have given GCW a lot of shit in the past couple of years, because I'm not into the whole deathmatch wrestling shit. The matches they put together, just, it's very niche, catered to their audience. And, you know, if that's where the money's drawing, more power to them. But in the past year or so, the popularity has boomed, and they have gotten talents such as Leo Rush, Jeff Jarrett as of recently, Matt Cardona, and a multitude of other individuals who've passed through their promotion doors. I found it to be still one of those promotions like, roll your eyes. But I can't take anything away from the fact that they're, you know, drawing said numbers and drawing dollars. I guess that's all that matters these days. And when you have an audience that's still has the connection to ECW and the throwback days of wrestling, more power to you. Hell, they sold out the Hammerstein for their recent pay-per-view. And that says a lot. It really does. I was invited as a guest by Homicide, who's a friend of the show and has grown to be a friend of mine personally. A real cool dude. We always checking on each other from time to time. And he asked me at a recent event to be one of his guests at his table for the Hall of Fame. I was honored immensely. It was fucking great. I felt really good about that. So, wasn't quite sure was it going to be like a suit and tie, dress down event. But once I spoke to him and he was on the show and he said that, look, man, I'm just going to be wearing my Yankee shit. I'm going out there. You know what? I'm fucking with him. I'm going the same way. So left out of here, my jeans, had my Tim's, and my motherfucking Turnbuckle Tabloid hoodie. Had my bang on me because, you know, it was New York City. I had to make sure I snuck in the banger. And was pleasantly surprised on the venue and how set up and classy it was. Not to say that everybody was, dressed to the nines and such, but they were individuals in the building who were dressed accordingly, took it very serious, and were very complimentary to the event. You would think an indie Hall of Fame that people would be dressed down and grunge and all that shit. But no, people were actually dressed and took this very seriously. I think the only hood table that was there was Homicide's table, which I was sitting at. And they put us at a certain position for a reason, because they knew that where the fuck we were going to be at. Which, by the way, was fucking hilarious. That was probably the funniest table at the event. Before I get into it a little bit more, I'm gonna educate you guys on how to carry yourself, not only at an event like this, but also when you're in the world of wrestlers, when you're in that an environment. If you guys are going as a person who myself who was doing business with wrestlers and such, scenes as though, you know, getting us, you know, getting on the podcast, having some kind of relationship to where we could possibly do something in the future. If you're in that realm, in that world, if you want to do that, I'll give you, I shouldn't be telling you guys shit. I shouldn't tell you anything. I should keep it to myself and let you guys fucking hang yourselves. But I'm going to be nice this time. I'm not going to give you the whole, as they say, the whole enchilada, but I'll give you a few tips to get you through. First thing is be genuine. If you're an asshole in real life, don't be an asshole. If you know you're an asshole, don't be an asshole. Be genuine. Try to steer away from being a fan. You're there as a pro. You're there as a person who's doing business. You're being a professional. Also, if you invited or you are partaking in something and who was in the field, who's bringing you in to the fold, keep that business at home. As for me, I left my business cards at home, although I did wear the Turnbuckle Tabloid hoodie, but I wasn't out there to get interviews. I was there to chill. I was a guest of Homicides, and I wasn't going out there to put myself over and pitch the show. Everything was a chill vibe. He invited me. We was going to hang out, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to chill. Shout out to the guys at that table. Jerry, Grim Reefer. Actually met a dude who knew me from the neighborhood, who's a friend of Homicides, real close friend of Homicides, and he legitimately knew me from the hood because we went to school together. And I was like, oh, shit, I tell you, small world. I know people be like, yeah, it's true. And, you know, shout out to Papo. Papo was like, yo, I don't remember names, but I remember faces. And I'm like, I get that a lot. Yeah, but no, shout out to him, man. We had a good time. You know, the table was fucking hilarious. But like I said, when you're going out there, you're going on a chill vibe. That's one. Also, make sure you got money. Straight up and down, make sure you have money. Because you do not know what you're going to get into. You don't know what the environment is going to be about, food-wise, drinks-wise, whatever. If you drink, a lot of these wrestlers drink, and some of them don't, but a lot of them are drinkers, and you want to partake in their social setting. A lot of them like to party, whatever the case may be. Know your limits, know what you're buying, know what you're doing. Understand the rule, the etiquette of being with wrestlers, being around wrestlers. They're all about the shaking of hands, introducing yourself. You go into the setting, that's how they know each other. Even in the locker room, everybody shakes each other's hands. They know each other. There's no ego. Everybody addresses each other that way. Same thing in this setting. Even if you don't know the individuals, you walk up and you introduce yourself to who you are. All right. And like I said, have money, because if you drink, you're buying a round for everybody. Everybody that you're sitting with and everybody you're hanging out with, you're buying a round for everybody. That's what you're doing, because that's what it is. Learn your limits, though, because there are individuals, just like in real life, there are individuals who will try to take advantage of you. And what we knew as Homicide and I would know from back in the days would be, I'm going to herb you, I'm going to punk you, and I'm going to see what you're going to do for me. So there will be individuals who will try to hit you up, like, yo, could you give me a drink? Or no. Go in there. You see if people are drinking. You buy a round. You know, make a toast. Well, not a toast. You know, you show love. You be like, hey, well, and that's it. The other thing is, leave an impression, and not in a bad way. Do not be an asshole. Leave an impression. Don't be a mark. Do not be a fan, but just leave an impression to let them know who you are and what do you do. Don't pitch yourself. Don't sell it. When they ask, you know, you make the, I'm here because of such and such. I'm just here to, I'm here as an observer. I'm here media. I'm here chilling. I'm here whatever. But, you know, you pitch it. You know, you just one pitch. Like, yo, I do a podcast or whatever. You know, I'll reach out to you from time to time. But as for now, we're just chilling. You know, having a good night. Leave it at that. No, like I said, no business cards, no exchanging of numbers, none of that shit. You don't do any of that. This is not the forum for that. When you're at an event like this, if you're at a wrestling event or at a signing or whatever, that's something different. But when something like this, someone invites you to, keep it professional and keep it, you know, whereas we're not doing business like this, right? Also, keep your fucking phone in your pocket. There was a bunch of fucking wrestlers in there that I could have sat there and marked out for and snuck pictures of. And no, we don't do that. X-Pac was literally about 15, 20 feet away from me. And I could have snuck pictures of him. Didn't do that. Jerry Lynn was another way. Punk was right there. The only thing that I videoed and I took pictures of was because I was taking pictures of the event, what was going on. And plus, it was stuff that was already being seen and streamed on YouTube. That was the only thing that I did it for. I didn't do it for no sneaky shit to where it's like, oh, let me take a picture of X-Pac fucking drinking wine, which I honestly say I didn't see him drinking anything, but I'm using that as an example. You don't do that. You know, enjoy the event, enjoy the time of what you're there, and have conversations or with the people around you, whatever the case may be, but we're not there to fucking out anybody on some bullshit, and we're not there to fucking put ourselves over for our own podcast. With that being said, I'm telling you this because I'm just sharing with you I'm not going to give you everything that I saw because there's some shit I saw, but I'm not going to tell you that. I'm just giving you the overview of my event, of my time at the event. So once again, I mentioned that GCW really laid it out. It was a really nice venue. Tables were organized, structured and such. And it looked really, really nice, man. You could tell that this company is getting their bread, man. They doing it. You know, Brett Lauderdale and the crew, they're doing it up over there. Shout out to them, man. Honestly, and when it came to that, very, like I said, for something that's very low key, independent wrestling sites, but this was very, not gonna say classy, but very controlled and well organized. Good shout outs to them. Like I mentioned, saw some names there. Saw others that I was like, this is going to be interesting. I know that certain contracts are coming up and I'm going, I can see where someone's going to be calling their home soon. I'll just leave it at that because they were very much involved in how the goings on for this event was. So I'm like, okay. If they don't renew their contracts, I know where they're going to be at. Okay. Which is cool. There were some individuals there that I know and who have been on the show who were assholes. And I'm okay with that. Because like I said, I don't expect to be recognized and well known in the community. But, you know, if I address you and I, you know, greet you, don't blow me off like I'm some fucking Mark fanboy. I'm coming to you as a gentleman. Don't blow me off as some kind of fucking asshole. But be it as it may, that's just what it was. And it shit happens. The structure of the show was well done. It was timed. It's funny because I thought I was getting there early because I actually thought that the show was about 8 o'clock, but it seemed as though that it was moved up and I was trying to get there so I could get comfortable and sit in it. By the time I got in and sat down and was with the people, so all of a sudden, boom, we're now presenting the indie wrestling. I was like, holy shit. Oh, okay. So night was going well. There were some great speeches. The room was very warm and inviting, and it was for the most part, although I did mention some people who are assholes, for the most part, the majority of the people in the room were really cool and very approachable if you wanted to. You know, there were certain individuals that I saw, shook their hands, and I was like, you know, thank you for everything that you've done for the business. Thank you for all. And it was like, oh man, it's great that, you know, great that you're a fan. I thank you for being here. Blah, blah. It was real nice. Real cool for the most part. I'm hoping that this is going to continue from here on out. I would love to see what their next class would be. Like I'm looking forward to seeing guys like Low Light Louie, Low Key, maybe Amazing Red, Julius Smokes, like these kind of guys will be like the next round going in. Grim Reefer, guys like them. I'm just hoping that this is going to be a yearly thing, because I think it's a good look for indie wrestling, and it also helps to show the importance of why indie wrestling is necessary. This year's inductees, like I mentioned, was Homicide, but also it was Jerry Lynn, Lufisto, Tracy Smothers, which was a great induction by or acceptance by Chris Hero, which, by the way, if you guys check it out on YouTube, Chris Hero is starting to shift into like a Mick Foley kind of look, but not in a bad way. And he tells a story and he spins a tale just like Foley does. It actually made me feel good to see him up there, because you rarely get to see Hero in that light. X-Pac, he inducted Sean Waltman, inducted Jerry Lynn, and it's like I said, it was really cool to see, you know, people come together in that way. And I'm hoping that we as a culture and a community embrace that, because a lot of these individuals, men and women, tore their bodies up to entertain us and don't get the respect that they deserve for it. You know, a lot of them are still doing it for a hot dog and a handshake. A lot of them are just getting by, you know, paying bills by doing it. And a lot of them are just not getting the recognition that they deserve because they didn't have this outlet there. So shout out to Brett Lauderdale and the guys at Game Changer Wrestling for doing that. It was it's a really beautiful thing that they're doing for the genre and the sect for that. Through it all, it was pretty quick. We went, you know, some speeches went a little bit long, which was well deserved. The ones who went long deserved to have it long. Homicide was fucking hilarious because he was trying not to curse, but of course it wouldn't be him if he didn't. I totally expected that, and I was happy that he did. Lufisto had a very touching speech in which she talked about her career and the sexual abuse and such like that, which it wasn't a downer, but it was very educational, and it was enlightening to know that this was going on and how she handled it. If you guys, like I said, check it out on YouTube, look up the Independent Wrestling Hall of Fame. It's there on YouTube. At the end, although, you know, you could tell that people wanted to hang out and chill, I was at the point where I was like, I'm ready to get the fuck out. You know, Homicide was ready to go do his promotional tour, go speak to sponsors and shit. And if he wasn't going to be there chilling, I wasn't going to chill. I'm ready to go. I was out. Fuck that. But it still was a really great night. It was cool as fuck to be around that. And like I said, I'm hoping that it happens again, and I'll be a part of it again as well. Who knows? Maybe from here on out, I'm going to be one of those that gets the personal invite from the company itself. Maybe not. Maybe that's not going to happen. As much as I fucking bash the company, I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, guys, check it out. check out the Independent Wrestling Hall of Fame. It's on YouTube. It's very warm and loving community to see embrace the first inductees and such. Ruckus was actually pretty cool too. He's another inductee, really cool dude from Baltimore, real good dude. If you guys have ever seen him wrestle, he's very much an innovator as well. That's a lot of things too. There was a lot of individuals that were innovators of in the independent wrestling scene as well as wrestling in general. So you guys should check it out. When we come back, we're going to discuss the World GCW pay-per-view that occurred this past week, as well as we're going to discuss Nitro. Yes, we're having our watch along. Homebook Mike stops in and we'll discuss Nitro this week. It's April 29th. This is right before the NWO. Well, not the NWO, but basically the Outsiders come in. And fucking hilarious fucking show. So guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around. Much more to talk about.
What's going on, everybody? Tony G here, better known to the world as Josie's Boy, aka your girl's favorite artist. And today I'm here to tell you about my company, Painting in Blue. Painting in Blue is a creative house I established in 2017, and we specialize in handmade custom leather goods. We coined the term luxury minimalism because we believe even in your everyday life, no matter how much running around you have to do, you can still stand out and be fly. We create everything from luxury handbags to wallets and some of the best leathers you can find that you would love to carry on a day-to-day basis. So if you believe in looking fly while you handle your business while pushing fashion forward, make sure you guys go to paintinginblue.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at _PaintedInBlue on Instagram and on Facebook at PaintedInBlue.
Why do you think the business is in the state it's in, bro?
Just give me, you haven't done a drop for me in a while. Just do another ID, Turnbuckle Tabloid, Hank Flanagan's, whatever. You know where it is. Cut it.
This is Hank Flanagan, chilling and sitting here at the Turnbuckle Tabloid with Jay Sante.
Doing a two for this segment. Going to review the World Game Changer Wrestling and giving you my Royal Rumble predictions. You'd be surprised about what my thoughts about was the world and such, being an avid listener and such. So after Game Changer Wrestling had their Hall of Fame, the next night was the big event, Game Changer Wrestling, GCW's The World. It was a return of wrestling to the Hammerstein. I believe the last time there was wrestling at the Hammerstein was with Ring of Honor. Maybe I believe in 16, 17, something of that nature, something around there. And of course, with that crowd, which is New Yorkers, you're going to get that old school ECW type of crowd. You're going to get that indie show fan base, which is not a bad thing. You know, indie fans, I always bust their balls, seeing as though that I am one myself. And depending on the environment and who you're with, you know, indie fans could be obnoxious and unkempt, as I always say about some, hygienically. But the one thing I can say about indie fans is that it is a community, and it's a recognizable community. Hell, I was just recently at an event, and a fan of indie wrestling who I hadn't seen quite a while. I've seen him on social media, but to see him personally, it's been a minute. We ran into each other, and you know, we exchanged pleasantries, and that's what it's like that when you're in that kind of environment in certain promotions, and especially if you are a fan of different promotions and you're you know, you're interacting, mingling, partaking in such shows. It's a pleasant environment, you know, depending on the individuals, except for the most part. You get some that could be an obnoxious prick. But for what I saw for this event, you got the old school fans, you got the newer base who enjoy the deathmatch / hardcore style of GCW, but also enjoy independent wrestling. And the it's a hodgepodge of individuals who are mixed together in this crowd. Now, some may say that they weren't a fan of this event because of their restrictions. GCW was restricted due to New York State's legalities when it comes to the wrestling world. We saw it firsthand at a Homicide's 25th anniversary show when a wrestler got busted up, quote unquote, and the state commissioner had to come in and stop the match because of it. It's different when, I guess, it's an MMA fight as opposed to with wrestling. And with MMA or in boxing, there's doctors who treat the wounds, whereas in wrestling, they don't have that. Maybe if they would implement that in New York, it would bring some kind of reality to wrestling. But that's not going to happen. In any case, we get the event to be a little bit more mild and tame because we don't have, you know, the light tubes or the barbed wire and such, or the blading, juicing, whatever you want to call it. With that being said, I still think it didn't take away from the night itself. In fact, after this review, we could say that we saw things differently. So just a quick rundown of what occurred on the world on GCW. The kickoff show, we had Big Vin winning the Pabst Blue Ribbon Battle Royal. Has anybody had Pabst Blue Ribbon before? It's not really that good. I don't know how people drink that shit, but it's not really that good. The fun part about it is that we actually had two female wrestlers who jumped into the match. Now, I'm not a big whole intergender fan boy kind of follower of wrestling and such, but you know, for an event like this, you know, this was very reminiscent of like when Beth Phoenix or Karma, Awesome Kong, popped into a battle royal and such. So on this time we had Thunder Rosa and Lufisto who came in, and congratulations to Lufisto who was inducted the night before into their Hall of Fame. At the end, we get Big Vin who pulls out the win. Then we also get a multi-man match. We had Grim Reefer, Shane Mercer, Alex Zane, Jack Cartwheel, Ninja Mac, Dante Leon in a scramble match. I was more proud. I had a big swell in my chest to see Reefer out there. Reefer, friend of the show, he's been on before. I saw him the night before, exchanged pleasantries and such. Reefer's a very, you're really in his circle, he's very, I'm not going to say abrasive, but he likes to keep individuals at a distance, and you could tell he's got that New York City presence with him where he just look you up and down and he'll size you. But I made sure to pull up on him and just tell him, yo, you good God? I made sure to do that. That's actually a thing that we have on the show. So this match was fun. There was a lot of spots in there. It was good to see Alex Zane back in the indies as well after his stint in NXT. But in the end, we get Grim Reaper with the win. Fun match. It was, if you want to look at a match for high spots and such, Reaper gets the win, and why not? He gets he pulls it off for New York City. First match coming out, which, by the way, I think I mentioned it earlier. I mentioned it on the during the Hall of Fame. They showed the opening promo for the event. It was shot beautifully, and it actually brought hairs to attention on my arms because of how important they made it feel. Like I said, you guys know I'm not a big deathmatch fan. I'm not. I mean, I enjoy hardcore matches when it's to that point, but when it's you do it consistently, it's either A, you're catering to that audience, which is fine if that's what it is that they're into, whatever. But if you're not that type of promotion, but you continue to do it, you're basically just watering down your promotion because you have no other creativity within it. But for a promotion like this, they're not a serial show. They don't have a series. It's a monthly or sometimes bi-monthly pay-per-views and such. So for this, you know, it works. First match, you get Jimmy Oliver, Jimmy Lloyd, and Alex Colon with G Raver, PCO, Tony Deppen, and AJ Gray in a grab the brass ring ladder match. Everybody saw the footage that occurred during the match. You had AJ Gray missing that spot off the ladder and landing on a ladder. It almost looked like he was trying to land an elbow drop on the fucking ladder. Again, since they can't have the hardcore light tubes kind of shit, they were able to pull out a, you know, hardcore style ladder match, and it worked. AJ Gray gets the win here, and with the win, he'll be able to pull out a championship match whenever of his choosing. Next up, you get Gringo Loco with Flamita and Ares versus Bandido, ASF, and Laredo Kid. Fun match, fun lucha style match. It was entertaining to watch. It had its elements to. It reminded me of old school WCW, but also with MLW being the linchpin of connecting Mexican style wrestling with the States. This was a fun, entertaining match. It had its hiccups here and there, but it wasn't too noticeable to where it ruined the match. You got Gringo Loco, Flamita, and Ares as the win by pinfall. Next up, we get Leo Rush and Blake Christian. I'm very interested because once again, Blake Christian is another one as well, coming off of his NXT stint, his WWE run, makes his return to the Indies. Fun match. I believe we've seen this before, but we didn't see it in this scale with such a larger audience that they had. These guys had high energy. It was entertaining to watch as well. It's just when I hear the Leo Rush shit, it kind of turns me off a little bit about him. But you still can't take away that the kid is talented when he wants to put it on, and he's not being an asshole. Blake Christian gets the win by pinfall. Next match, we get Joey Janela versus Matt Cardona with Chelsea Green, which was a very fun throwback ECW type of match. In fact, Cardona comes out wearing the Mick Foley flannel vest and fuck Mick Foley, I guess, saying in the back, and he came in with Enter Sandman, everybody believing that Sandman was coming in. But there was a lot of surprises that jumped up in this match. We got a lot of spots where You get like Marco Stunt coming in, Hornswoggle. It was, like I said, one of those, you know, you take it for what it was. It was a fun match. It's not one of those where I could sit there and go, oh, fuck, are you kidding me? Because, like I said, look at the promotion that it is. I'm not going to sit there and bash it. If this was the circus, was, I wouldn't say this is when the clowns come out, but this is where the entertaining clowns come out, or the experienced clowns come out, I guess. I don't know. So, but still, fun match. Cardona gets the win. Of course, the crowd hates him. And like I said, if it wasn't for Punk, and I still say that Homicide and last year should have been in the running for it as well. But Cardona has like the comeback wrestler of the year feel. Next up, we get Allie Cash versus Ruby Soho. I'm not a fan of Allie Cat. I'm really not. I don't get it. I've seen her for a couple of years now, and I'm like, okay, can we move away from this shit? But apparently not. And it was good to see Ruby coming out and partaking in this. Ruby gets the win here. One of another big matches that was being advertised and blasted all over social media was Jeff Jarrett versus Effie. To be honest with you, I really didn't care. I know a lot of people were into it. I know a lot of old school fans, and it's not to take anything away from Jeff. I've been a fan of Jarrett for a while. Slapnuts, Jarrett. I'm into the whole rap is crap and all that shit, but there's something about Effie that just fucking turns me off. I mean, I don't see him as a legit wrestler. This match just really didn't work for me. And I was able to bypass this one easily. We get the first of the main events. We get Moxley versus Homicide for the GCW World Championship. Of course, I'm in the corner of my man Homicide. Of course, I'm there hoping that, you know, he gets the win here. Going to say that good match, wasn't their best. Seen them do much, much better. Don't know how or why how it played out. The crowd was really into it. You had the feeling that they possibly, especially the wave that Homicide's been riding for the past year or so, that he might pull this one out. This was Moxley's return. I believe this was his first match after leaving rehab. And you could kind of see, although he's been out only since October, you could still kind of see that there was some ring rust there. Maybe down the line, if we can see this in AEW, that this will make a lot more sense where these guys make it work. But on this night, it wasn't really there for me. I thought that through it all, the crowd got what they want. They left everything out there. Homicide walked out there with a busted lip. And Moxie pulls out the win with a paradigm shift on fucking chairs. And then finally we get the Briscoes with an open challenge match for their GCW tag titles. And who answered the call was Matt Tremont and Nick Gage. This, I was surprised because I didn't know if Gage was ready. I didn't know that he was fully healed from his previous injuries, but it looked like he was ripping, raring to go. The only hiccup with this was that the fans was not a fan. The fight was too short. We got it quick. Everything came out early. Tremont pulled out the door. You get the tables. You get the high spots from the Briscoes. Everything happened quick. And then the finish happened even faster. And it was it. Done. There is a post that was recently put out there by GCW's owner, Brett Lauderdale, talking about how great how great a night it was for GCW. But he fell short, and he felt like he has to apologize to the fans because he felt as though he was screwed over about something. I'm paraphrasing. I kind of believe that this is what it was, that the match ran short. I'm not sure if it was a time restriction due to, I guess, city ordinance, or because somebody wasn't following through with their full obligations. But in the end, the winners were a new champions, Nick Gage and Matt Tremont via pinfall. Now, to say, like I said, for a person like me who's not really big into Game Changer Wrestling, this night was actually really good. I enjoyed it, I have to say. And due in part that they didn't have to go all out blood and gore, light tube, fucking nail gun to the head type of shit. You were able to present an event without it, and it still looked good. It still was good. So it goes to show that you could sit back and take away the trash and still make everything look clean and look good. Will they do it again? Yeah, they'll do it. They'll get the pop. They'll get the fan base. Hell, they sold it out. They sold out Hammerstein. So I don't see why they wouldn't do it again. But I also shows that with some form of legitimacy that they could pull an event together without having to pull out the trash shit. So, for me, I have to say it was a good night. Fun night. I can't really complain about anything. It's just certain matches I just was, you know, very, you know, nonchalant about. But other than that, it was fun and I enjoyed myself. So kudos to the guys out there, Brett Lauderdale, Homicide, and the rest of the flock over there at GCW. Going into Royal Rumble. Yeah. I was having a conversation with brother AJ, and he was asking about who will be the one up in line for to next opponent for Roman. And, you know, the obvious is going to be Brock, depending on what kind of foolery happens and such. I have to say that it's got to be Brock. And unless they pull out some fan favorite, which, you know, that's a rarity these days in WWE, to me it looks like it's going to be Brock and Roman. And on the flip side, it's going to be Bobby and Big E. I'm basically calling it that way. I think Big E is going to end up winning the Royal Rumble. So on the card we have, so far it's Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley for the WWE Championship. I'm going to take Bobby here with some probably distraction, interruption by Roman. Everybody's believing that this is going to be the way in which they unify the belts. I don't see that happening because USA and Fox wants their own separate belts. They're not looking forward to having both titles being separated, being unified. They want to keep them separated, and they don't want to see one single champion bounce from show to show. Then we get Becky Lynch versus Doudrop. Becky Lynch gets the win here. This just has her running the gambit to say that she's beating every woman, and this will lead up to possible build up for the winner of the Royal Rumble. And who else will pop up in the women's Royal Rumble? Edge and Beth Phoenix versus Miz and Maryse. Won't be surprised if Miz and Maryse pull out the win here. It'll lead up to more of a story, unless this is going to be the blow off in which Edge and Beth win. Then we get the Edge building up to his final possible match, the retirement match that he wants to have in WWE at Mania. Who would that be? Don't know. And we get Roman versus Seth Rollins for the WWE Universal Championship. Roman wins, hands down. I believe this is where Kevin will screw Seth over, which will lead into a small story on Raw for them to have, and which possibly we'll be seeing a fatal four-way at WrestleMania, something of that magnitude. Which would be interesting because it should have some kind of lead up into the Saudi Arabia Elimination Chamber match. And for the men's Royal Rumble, the one who I see winning this is Big E. That's pretty clean cut for me. And for the women, now there's rumblings that Ronda is coming back. So she looks like she could win. That'll pop the crowd. Possible Bayley return. That'll be a good win for her to have leading into SmackDown for that title. But it's also rumbling that Asuka's coming back. So that could be a winner there too. But for me, the undisputed winner, and if the rumors are true that she is coming back, I'm going to say that it's Ronda Rousey with the win. So that's going to wrap up our predictions for the Royal Rumble. When we come back, we'll have our Monday Night Nitro watch along with Homework Mike. So guys, stick around. We will be back.
This is the good old Jar, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Another day, another month, another
new year
instance.
New year, same nitro.
Yeah, exactly. Is it the same nitro though?
I don't know. We saw the final solution in the last ones, and he's gone. So,
yeah, he was just a blip, wasn't he? Just here.
Went off.
Yeah.
Thank God.
We still have Bischoff on commentary. Is Mongo holding his dog? Yes, he is.
Is the dog alive, though? Not moving. Splattered him. I'm looking
for the same thing tonight. Yeah, it does look like it was like taxidermy. Like, it looks like it was stuffed.
Exactly.
Very tough matches. This giant is bigger, he's faster, he's younger, and he is hungry.
We are going to see it here tonight, unprecedented. The giant going after the Nature Boys heavyweight title. Also, the world tag team titles on the line. Sting, Luger.
I just put up a post on the Turnbuckle Tabloid group page. A poll. Best commentary right now.
Right.
Like, so far, I think a lot of people are big fans of McAfee and Excalibur and stuff like that. But, you know, when you listen to the commentary from back then, do you miss the old ways of the commentary?
Yeah. We're still old style like JR and Jim Lawler, Mr. Style, Tony Schiavone, Bobby Heenan. Even this one, Bischoff, Heenan, and Mongo.
Mongo?
I never liked Joey Styles' dog commentary by himself, because he was feeling just off himself.
Yeah, that's,
see, like, I hate the Dudley Boys. I agree with you, Joey.
Yeah, it's not. That's not an easy thing to do, though.
Exactly.
It's really not. Speaking for the guy who does a fucking show by himself every week now, but no, it's pretty difficult to do. And as much as people say like it was innovative, or whatever, it was like no, just Paul making sure he didn't have to pay anybody else.
Right.
He kept it close.
That's what TNN said. Yeah, we need somebody to go with him.
Yeah. We'll pay him. We'll pay him.
Yeah. I thought he said the N-word for a second.
Borderline. We got Harlem Heat going up against
Sting and Luger.
How's the friendship going along here?
Well, this is the time. Remember, I was telling you that Booker T would Sting for that Chicago Street
fight. Right.
And they said, if they win, you owe me, right, and my brother a shot. Well, this is the shot.
Oh, okay.
And Sting, not Sting, Luger has finally turned babyface again. after seemingly help Hogan and Macho Man win that Tower of Doom bullshit thing by punching Ric Flair in the face.
Okay. So he's finally embracing the face.
Yeah. Him and Sting are the bestest friends ever. That'll be tested in a few months.
He always looked like a miserable human being.
He was never happy. He was never happy.
Luger always looked miserable.
Even when they gave him the bus to push, he just fucking hated it.
Well, that was because he just didn't want to be a face doing that bullshit.
Yeah.
But just in wrestling period, he just looked like, meh.
So the reason I picked this episode is because this is the final one before they go to 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And where creative finally turns into... turns out with the addition of Scott Hall, Kevin Nash coming in next month.
All right. This is around the time of the curtain call, which, yeah.
And the night prior, the WWF had their pay-per-view Good Friends, Better Enemies, which was Shawn and Diesel.
Mm.
And then it was that match, and then they had Vader squash Razor Ramon earlier in the show. So that was their last pay-per-view appearance for the WWF.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I believe it's during this week that they do the curtain call.
Right. As I said, I'm trying to figure it out.
Because it was a house show in Madison Square Garden.
I always wonder, like, how does one like Sting come up with his face paint? Like,
yeah.
Does he sketch it out?
I think some, like, there has to be like, people that have like designs in the back for him.
Or does he just like...
Like, I have blue boots, so I'm just going to wear blue face paint.
Paint by numbers?
Yeah. Well, Jeff Hardy does, like, different styles. I mean,
well, he's an artist. Yeah. I wasn't quite sure whether or not if Sting is an artist-type individual.
Well, once he goes crow, he just sticks to one color, except for when he joins the Wolfpack, then he goes red and black.
Well, yeah, you know, he just does variations of the crow.
Come on. It was just one set. It was just like one color. No, it was two colors and nothing else.
Well, you know, they did the eyeliner differently. He ended up looking like...
He grew a beard and had to paint over the beard.
Yeah. He started looking like the cat from fucking Kiss and shit like that.
Mm.
I was listening to Bischoff's episode. I believe it was an older episode, though, but they were talking about the NWO and how they came up with the whole Sting Crow thing, and it came from Scott Hall.
Yeah.
And Hall, pitching the idea. And
Bischoff, he got it from the movie, correct?
Well, he got it from the movie Crow, because he had seen Sting growing his hair out.
Mm-hmm.
And... You know, you know what you need to do? You're starting to get that look like Brandon Lee from The Crow. You might want to think about putting that together. Getting that makeup and face paint and stuff. So they just started pitching around ideas, and Bischoff was like, this is probably the first time that he saw that Sting was actually interested, that he's leaning in and listening to the concept of it. You know, they were pitching the idea of not having him wrestle for like a year, just having him watch over and all this shit. So,
when they go full crow, they go full crow.
I mean, yeah. I always said that was probably one of the, you know, if it wasn't for Stone Cold's fucking rise. That would have probably been part of the captivating thing in wrestling at that time. Because he just went, he did a whole 180 and just like, did a whole fucking gimmick different. And
well, in a year's time, it's going to be the battle of which babyface is more over, Austin or Sting.
Yeah.
And in the end, by the end of the year, Austin wins because at Starrcade, they fuck it all up.
Oh, yeah.
That was Stevie, right? It's a fucking
yeah.
Jesus God. You have to think in 96, Eric's like, Bookie, Eric has to think, Bookie's like more talented than his fucking brother. Like,
oh, yeah,
I can't fucking wait to split these two up.
He knew it. When it hit at the right time when Stevie got hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was out for like a year, so it hit at the right time for it to happen. You know, we talked about this, Bobby. I don't mean to interrupt you.
He's another one that just didn't seem happy wrestling. It's a fucking gig.
Another one of these guys just was happy for the paycheck.
Right.
You better do it pretty quick. Here, Sting's in trouble. I got a bridge you can buy, too. It's just over by the other side of Brooklyn there. I'll give you a real good price on it.
I say the same shit I've been telling people. You believe that shit, I got a bridge I can sell you in Williamsburg.
Oh, my God. Just look at back. This ring is so fucking small.
Yeah.
Compared to how the rings are today. Even the fucking TNA one, the six-side one, that wasn't big either.
No, people hate that ring.
Yeah.
They hate it. It's a play off the Lucha Libre ring, but they said that TNA Impact, their ring, the ropes are too tight.
The bumps were horrible.
They said the ropes are really tight.
There's metal on one side of the corner.
Yeah.
It was always interesting when people coming from WWE to TNA, like Booker T, when he came into TNA, and he's trying to bounce off the ropes like he usually does, and he's just looking at the ring and goes, what the fuck?
Yeah, because that
we're so used to it's like
that angle rope.
Yeah.
Those are like difficult to fucking hit.
Oh my God. Wheel kick?
Wheel kick.
It's a side kick.
One, two, and those are seconds you can never get back.
Boy, he had him. He had him dead to rights. All he had to do was drop on him for the cover. He could have laid out to the count of eight.
Oh, my God. Bicycle kick by Stevie just right in the chest of Sting.
Oof. Oof.
I wonder when they went to Sting and be like, hey, like, we have the idea. We could take a year off from wrestling. Okay. Fuck it, yeah.
See,
I don't want to have to work with stiffs like Stevie. Good.
Yeah, Sting, what we want you to do is sure. I'm already doing it. Steve, I mean, I know. I'll do it. I'll do it.
Just keep yourself in shape. Okay, I got it.
We want you to hold this vulture.
That's what I meant earlier when I was saying like, they weren't full crow. They weren't full fucking crow.
Yeah, he wasn't holding
that visual was not.
He had a crow. He had a crow a few times, but there was one time I remember him holding a fucking vulture.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know that shit could peck your fucking eyeballs, yeah. All right?
And you can probably see the trainer in the fucking corner making sure this thing doesn't peck him.
I don't need you to do any moves. Just don't look at it eye to eye.
No movements.
No just subtle stand movements. Still. And if it makes a sound,
you're fucked.
Bring him to, just give him to me. Oh my God, did we just hear the Booty Man is here? Oh shit.
Did you hear that massive fucking announced at the Battle Bowl? Fucking Rick Steiner and the Booty Man against Sergeant Craig Pittman and Scott Steiner.
Oh. Oh, the Battle Bowl. Oh, yeah, the Battle Bowl.
The mixed tag bullshit.
I think that was a Dusty creation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, jeez.
Dusty's boy wins, remember? DDP.
Right. But, remember, DDP wasn't Dusty's boy. It was Bishop's boy. DDP was Bishop's boy. They were really good friends.
DDP mentions Dusty's one of his mentors.
Yeah, he's one of his mentors, but he's really a Bischoff guy. That's when Diamond turned face and he started to get the push, there were some of the boys in the back who weren't fans of it. But, you know, it was guys.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, Lord, what a fucking.
Thank God they stopped at halfway.
He shouldn't have been the one that did that.
Wait, what? Oh, he's trying to throw the towel in for Lex so they can retain the titles. Let's kill Jimmy. Oh, my God.
They said that Jimmy... Oh, my God. They said that Jimmy was almost like 50 years old by the time that shit was happening. I gotta find out.
And he was making those rip-off songs.
He said he's the one that does the female's voice on Sean's song.
Really? The original or the new one?
I don't know.
I think the original was with Sherry, wasn't it?
It makes sense. Sherry sang the original song.
Right.
But when it's the woman in the back, it's him.
Freaking Mickey Mouse sounding ass. The great white hype. What in the blue fuck is that? What in the white fuck is
the
that?
The white fuck is that? What you call it?
So Sting used shenanigans to retain the titles.
Or as Bischoff would say these days, shenanigans. He does shenanigans.
Just fucking officiate.
Yeah, I have to find out if... conferences. I have to find out how old would Jimmy Hart be around this time, because that's...
He was getting up there. He's 70, at least.
Well, now he's 79.
Wow.
Wow. He's going to be 80 years old. Shit. He still has his hair. Holding on by a thread, but he still has...
Honestly.
Yeah, because he was born in 43.
Mm-hmm.
By this time, he's 96. Yeah, he's in his 50s already. Jesus. Yeah, he's in his 50s.
All right, I hear generic music. Who the hell is this? Oh, my God. It's Fire and Ice. Ice Train and Scott Norton.
Let me tell you something. I give it to Norton. Norton has done so much and done so many freaking gimmicks and wrestled everywhere and still holds up. But Jesus, who the fuck says, hey, we're going to put you up with this guy and you guys are going to be Fire and Ice? And he's like, all right, fucking show me the check.
So your name is Scott Norton. His name is going to be Ice Train.
Oh, is this Powerhouse Hobbs Pops or some shit like that?
Oh, my God.
It's got to be, right?
Could be Uncle.
Right?
Against the Steiners. Oh, my God.
When fans were fans.
Yep. Oh, so you know who's gone at this point in WCW? The Road Warriors.
Oh, that was their last...
Because as soon as...
Is this when they go to WWF?
Yep.
All right.
Because around this time when the NWO started coming in, there was no fucking room for them. And they were like, we're not jobbing them.
Right, exactly. I was about to say, yeah, that would have been...
Imagine like fucking Hawk taking a fucking...
They'd have had to beat
Razor's Edge and a powerbomb.
They'd have had to beat the shit out of them every night with bats.
Motherfucker got up from a cane chokeslam and a cane RVD frog splash just straight up.
Yeah.
In 2002.
Talk about no selling.
2003. Never got hired again.
Talk about fucking Leo Rush and those guys no selling shit.
It's so funny because Rick basically had a character before Scott did.
Oh yeah, the dog face grandma.
Even,
yeah.
Even like in the team, it took a long time until Scott got his Freakzilla Big Pop Pump gimmick. He was just basically playing old Scott.
You know, who reminds me, who I think would be the modern day Steiner brothers,
besides his son.
Yeah, but I'm talking about as an attack team,
mm-hmm.
Santana and Ortiz.
Really? Why?
Ortiz is more the Rick Steiner, the dog face grandma, and then Santana's the star. He becomes Scott Steiner.
So you don't mean like size or anything. You just mean
no,
like
no, just style. Just a style and gimmick wise.
The way they oh my God, oh my God.
See, that's working.
Rick was like, I don't give a fuck. You're going over.
See now we've seen Scott
versus Scott.
Right, Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
was big, but then he gets. Immensely big.
Oh, he blows up.
Yeah, I saw somebody post the other. As a matter of fact, it was this morning. Somebody posted this says,
"Oh my God! Oh my God!
That's crazy for him to be able to throw him like that, Scott. To throw Scott Norton like that,
350. Yeah, legit.
Again, what is it? April 29th, 1996, right? Season two, guys. So, I saw a post earlier where somebody had said they should let.
I'm sorry.
Wow, look at Norton's shit. He was fucking strong as shit, too. That they said that they should let wrestlers take steroids because it's not competitive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
It's sport. It's sports entertainment.
And it's not like MMA or in boxing.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, okay. But then you hear stories of
individuals who died because of fucking steroids. Steroids are supposed to be a rehab. It's not supposed to be a practice. So that's what gets lost in translation.
I mean, when people say, "Oh, I'll take steroids," they automatically say, "Oh, I get big," and you just get like insanely big, insanely fast.
I know a good friend of mine who took them.
Yeah, you were telling me.
Yeah, he says he was great.
Oh my god,
said he loved it. Whatever happened to him?
Ice Train?
Yeah.
Funny enough, he stays around till the end of WCW.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He becomes like the cat's like personal bodyguard. But they don't call him like Ice Train. They call him like Jay Smooth.
Oh.
Some shit. So he gets a couple gimmick names. Is that a three?
What the
okay,
fuck?
Okay, sure. That was a three.
And the Bozo finish goes to
Ice Train.
This is like a house show. It's just a silly finish. Oh, my okay. Lord. He's going to pay for that later. That fucking... And he finishes up with a fucking...
Clothesline. One, two... Okay, so there was a three. It's just that the finish sucked.
Yeah. He finished him with a fucking...
Also, that just means that he didn't want to go for the Steiner dog.
Whatever right. The called. Yeah. Your
boy...
Rick!
Jay's favorite time of the
Rick with his soccer mom hair! Woo!
Uh-oh. Oh, and it's a Mean Gene promo. What interview? You like that phrase? They're hanging from the rafters.
As long as it's not referring to, you know, people of color.
Exactly. Well, for everybody.
The Nature Boy! Woo!
So remember, he has Elizabeth and he has Woman, he has Macho Man's money, and he has the world title. All this going on at the same fucking time.
Yeah, don't you think we packed up the gimmick a little bit?
I believe
too much?
In this promo is when he starts to plant the seeds for his next feud. And here's your clue. Ten Hut.
Oh.
Oh. Football. He's going to go after the football players.
And Ten Hut is...
I mean, yeah. I mean,
Ten Hut is military. I'm like...
I meant Hut.
Yeah, that's what it is. Hut. And the wrestling world, as usual,
when I'm in your presence, stand at attention. Okay.
And ask yourself, am I worried about a 7'4" ignoramus by the name of the Giant?
Woman is a Jersey, is a Jersey 9. What was it? Like a Jersey 9 and a New York 5.
The former Mrs. Macho Man, now Miss Elizabeth, in love with Nature Boy. And ask yourself, are we worried?
I wonder if anybody spanked it to Elizabeth. I could never do it. I never found her that like hot.
She seems like the type of person that would never let anybody touch her like that.
She's
the way she looks is the way she might act out of her.
Yeah, it's very dainty.
Yeah.
Proper.
Mrs. Macho.
Yes. So me, Gene.
He would know. He's been married fucking a few times. He should know how to say it.
To do this more than anything else in life today. Woman is the giant, half the man the Nature Boy is.
He's a small man in comparison to the champ.
You heard it. He's a small man next to Nature Boy.
Now, I need me a big gold belt.
Miss Elizabeth.
Just to say, Jay Santy.
Just to have it around. Just be like, yeah, I'm a champ.
Yeah.
With Nature Boy, is the giant anywhere near the man that the Nature Boy is?
Absolutely not.
Meijin! Question answered! Giant!
The helicopter. That will happen a little bit later. That's Rick's tagline, the helicopter.
And his lordship coming up next.
Oh, so okay. So is that the end of this? This was the problem. So it's the week after. Oh, my Lord. The picture. Oh, my. The pedo stash.
Oh, my goodness. I hated it when Finley looked like that. He just
looked. Why did he let himself look like that?
Shit. Because a real man.
Oh, well, is this what I think it is?
Wow, look at the, what you call it.
Is this all the money Eric Bischoff spent?
Yeah, I was about to say, look at the presentation.
Look at the ice. Blood runs cold.
Oh, here it comes. Yep. The introduction to Glacier.
Oh, my God. Coming to WCW.
Talk about bombs. Like
all that money for that fucking that. Oh, here's your favorite commercial.
Oh, Lord. I never got that magazine. I used to always get the WWF. I used to get the WWF magazine. I got the last.
There was two different kinds, wasn't it? It was like the WWF and then the Raw one.
They had separate ones, but I got the WWF magazine. I used to get them. I got the last magazine. The last WWE. The last one. I think the last magazine.
Oh my God! Where the fuck are they?
The last magazine was what you call it? The one with the Shield on it, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the last one. Okay, now
so,
this.
So we're having a sanctioned parking lot brawl,
and apparently this is supposed to be the match of matches because this is where they went. Yeah, he just broke. He just kicked the fucking window.
The Belfast Bruiser, known as Fit Finley. Massive contusions after this match, folks.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, these two guys. Oh man, I love that fucking 4x4.
How's that, brick? What's in the block? Oh, yeah, we saw that match on Censored.
Right.
In the OSW review.
I thought he was going to throw it at him.
You know, for shoot, that those cars are probably some production guys. Cars, they parked them in this spot to tell them that, oh, your car's going to be used for this.
Yeah, we need to gimmick the windows.
Yeah. Think of all the people that went outside, or people that stayed up, like, didn't get tickets for the building and got to see this.
Right.
They don't get to see Hogan or Flair or nobody. Let's see Finley and Regal fighting the fucking parking lot. I would have to say, Lord Steven Regal takes a tire
to the stomach and a bumper to the back. Now, what led up to this?
Them two were just feuding on Saturday night. One's Irish, one's British. This is when Regal was teaming with
Bobby Eaton.
Sir Bobby Eaton. No, Sir William Eaton.
Oh, Robert Eaton.
I think it was William Eaton. Some stupid shit. But they made him be committed with it. He did a British accent.
Yeah.
Something that Triple H just refused to do.
Well, you're talking about when he was
Jean-Paul Levesque. Those kicks are horrible, but the fists, the punches are real.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What's that?
Safety strap. What seat belt? Zone is known as a seat belt.
Safety strap. I hope there's not a
standard in one of those. That's a long pole to use on somebody. Safety strap. I'm looking at
I think Bishop just said go to commercial and they said no, stay on.
I'm looking at Fit Finley's
mustache.
His mustache and his mullet. He's looking very
So the strap is hair. It's the mullet, but he has the sides shaved.
He's looking very Terry Funk right here.
He wishes he was Terry Funk.
The Funkster.
There's the papa.
At least they didn't do the typical dressed in jeans, you know, when you have to be in a street fight kind of look. At least they're in their gear, but they just put a t-shirt on.
Yeah. Well, with Finley, it looks like he's just wearing like a one bodysuit.
Right.
He's wearing a singlet. Because I doubt he had any merch at all to wear. I mean, Rio doesn't have merch. He's just wearing a Nitro shirt. The Bruiser.
Putting on the brakes.
That roof collapsed so fucking fast, they didn't even step on it. Oh, my God.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. That
what was he trying to do?
I don't know. All I know is that that shouldn't have been done.
He was trying to slam his head on the roof of the car, but they both just jumped off.
Even Regal was like, I don't know what you're doing here, fam. I'm just not going to go with that shit.
You expect me to take a flat bump? Oh, no. Head to... Wow.
Was that supposed to break?
No, I think that was a shoot.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we'll see later on. Goldberg fucking knows that fucking knockout windows.
Yeah, and then fucking injure himself for the rest
for
of the year.
For 6 months.
Yeah.
Nearly kill his career.
Sure, let me punch this fucking glass, even though it's not gimmick. Okay.
Bill, we'll gimmick it. No, don't gimmick it.
Okay. He's never made the grandest of choices.
Okay, that window broke. But that was the same car. Notice I did not take any back bumps on the concrete yet.
Was that a Datsun that he just broke? Broke a Datsun?
Tractor trailer. His fucking weird. Oh my God. The bumper of a car. Look at them. Nope. They're not taking any bumps on the concrete.
Yeah, because if it was Bill Watts' fucking WCW, they would be taking bumps on the concrete.
There'd be a count of four.
Fucking Foley was doing it.
Yeah. For fun.
Here we go. Here you go. Here you go.
Finley was about to do a tombstone.
Fucking heathen.
Must be back in the day, yeah. Back bump on the roof of the car.
Oh. Oh, he took
the
corner.
Why are you getting up?
He took the edge of that shit.
Stay down. Fucking Leo Rush. Stay down. Oh, my God. Whee.
Oh.
Pile driver.
Pile driver on the top of the shit.
Pin. Oh, my God. One. Okay, it looks like a two count, but it was a three.
Bad fucking angle. Why did you take that angle? Like, I'm talking about the camera angle.
Regal's cutting a promo.
He's
no
a
camera.
Winner. He's a winner in the hood.
Oh, my God. Look at him.
Go ahead, Bobby.
Oh, my God. I was waiting for that line because I knew one of them was going to say something about the cars. I'll float you alone.
He just realized that that was his rental car. Which one, the Datsun?
Here comes the Dungeon of Doom music.
Blood runs. Oh, no, those blood runs cool.
No, we get the video. We get that fucking $100,000 video they made.
The video package.
They didn't even say the name. It was just like all this Mortal Kombat imagery and then that shit.
At least they tried to stick to it because they had Glacier, they had Mortis, they had Wrath. They had, you know, they tried to.
The giant. And his one nipple out. I never liked the singles like this. I never liked it. The rules look so stupid to me.
It almost looked like a.
If he would have just wore like the trunks, like he did in the WWF.
Yeah, it almost looked like a woman's lingerie trying to be sexy.
Yeah,
just have one tit out. Mind you, at this time,
Giant won this match by beating Loch Ness.
Oh God! By the way, at this time, he's only maybe about 22 years old.
This is a year and a half in the business.
Yeah.
Already world champion. Well, baby, he's done stuck his foot in his mouth now,
and the giant's probably gonna ram it out the other end for him. I can't wait. Black people. Black people on the ringside. Black people. Flair was the one with his back on the mat, baby, and I can't wait to see
See, the thing is, like, you see, like, the differences between, like, woman and Elizabeth. Woman is, like, playing her character. Liz is, like, smiling, like, I'm having fun.
I'm happy to be here, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm getting paid to do this stupid shit.
Cut my check.
I can't. Oh.
If I was going to bang either one of them, it would be woman.
Yeah.
She's, like I said, Jersey 9.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, New York 5.
Yeah. Maybe a 6. Maybe New York 6. Yeah. Maybe. But down in the sticks, oh my God, that's Marilyn Monroe down there. Shit. You crazy?
Yeah. Uh-oh. Oh my God, it's Deborah.
It's Deborah. It's Mongo's wife at the time.
Here's Mongo's wife.
Mongo's wife at the time. Come to find out that she's a real bitch.
Is she really? In real life?
Yeah, she's the one that got fucking Stone Cold in trouble. Though Stone Cold said, you know, it was his fault he did it. But he says,
let's be real. She Stone lit. Cold, that's what Stone Cold did.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, he says, yo, she lit the fucking fire. Like, she gave me no fucking choice. I had to do what I had to do. Because any other woman he was with, they said that he's never been like that. And, Mongo had never had any nice words about her, so.
Never knew that. I always just assumed, like, she's like the Texan woman with big boobs that showed them out for everybody. It was
ridiculously fake boobs.
I mean,
gargantuanly.
There were other ridiculously big boobs around her. That made her.
You're talking about, you're talking about,
China, Jacqueline.
No, I thought you were talking about
Sable.
I thought you were talking about, like, John Laurinaitis and Bruce Pritchard.
I was about to say them too.
Big boobs.
Still boobs to this fucking day.
Rick with the Notre Dame colors on.
Even though he's probably not from Notre Dame.
They're from Notre Dame.
Notre Dame?
No, that's in Illinois. He's from Minnesota.
Oh yeah. So Hogan is away. He's filming some movie at this time.
Mr. Nanny, probably.
No.
Or is it a ninja?
It might be that space movie. No, he probably did that already.
No, he did Suburban Commando already. Ninjas 3.
They said something about him in Ninjas. Wow.
Yeah.
In intro.
Yeah, it's probably the Ninjas 3 movie.
Big Show's 24 years old.
Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah, because he's only...
No more BS. He's in his 50s now.
Yeah, he's 4 years
almost,
old.
He's almost 50.
Oh, so yeah, because he's 4 years older than me. Same thing with X-Pac. I was looking at Sean Waltman at the Hall of Fame the other night, and
he started young too.
Yeah, he's almost turning 50.
Yeah,
looks good, man. And in person, he looks really good. I was like, the coolest white motherfucker you've ever seen, boy.
Well, thank God he turned it around.
Yeah.
A lot more money being an individual here at WCW.
Well, that's a good point.
You've got a valid point there, my friend.
Look at this. Now, you talk about the power, you talk about the strength, the size, and now...
So I brought up the
difference. Who the hell is screaming like that?
Woman, I was about to say. So whenever anything's happening to Rick, she's screaming. Liz is just standing there like, oh, shit.
Like, she got a fucking thumb up her ass.
There probably is a thumb up her ass.
There's a thumb up her ass. Rick loves that spot.
Also, Rick probably loves this opportunity to work with a fucking guy like him. Fucking Paul White, Big Show, a giant. Whatever you want to call him.
I think Rick is too rich to go get his hair at Supercuts. Nah, he has to get that professionally done, which is sad. I guess this is when he was supposed to be the gladiator, when they wanted him to do his...
Spartacus. That was back in 92. Or 1990.
Spartacus.
Jesus. Does that look like heavy breathing to you, or is that just him doing facial expressions?
A little bit of both.
Do you hear screaming?
The dirtiest player in the game. Control your emotions. If he can control his emotions, he can walk out of here.
This is what I appreciate about like old Ric Flair matches, when like he says he's the man, thinks he's all this cool, like, when he says he's as cool as shit, and then he does like the chops, the big, the giant, and then he's not selling it, and he's like, oh fuck.
Another one of Rick's favorite spots.
He would never go. He wouldn't hit that top rope splash until like 2006.
Yeah, until he finally hits it.
Until he gets a Carlito.
You know, Rick's always been like a mirage of greatness, because if you know, for the most part, he's been the one getting his ass whipped for most of the matches. He's one of the best bump takers in the business. Liberties. A muscle reflection.
You get fucking kicked. You get armed. You get dicked, basically. And then it's a reflection.
Muscle reflection.
Around this time, when the Undertaker was doing his like "I'm dead" thing, and people were lowballing him, people would be like, "How is he supposed to fucking sell that? He's dead. if he sells it, then he's not. Then he's human. But if he doesn't sell, it's like, does he have a vagina?
You have an unalive penis."
Then people go to the conclusion: does he have a vagina? It's like, shut the fuck
you're
up.
Just, yeah, it's just
wrestling.
It's just a vagina.
Mangina.
Giant appears to be out here.
I was gonna say, fucking Nick Patrick refereeing him. No, it's, I think it's the Pee Wee ref.
What the hell? What the fuck was that, Rick?
You're stalling. Now you're just stalling.
He hits the ropes. Just, I mean, I thought he was gonna hit the ropes and then drop the knee
on the knee
and then pick, and then do the figure four.
Right. And the Giant's not moving. Oh my god.
And that's how you get out.
That's how you get a monster over. Fucking woman sister. One, two, three. New world champion.
On TV.
Yep.
On television.
Well, I remember at the pay-per-view, Flair was a part of that Hogan Macho bullshit, so he didn't have a talent defense.
Right.
So technically they'll do it the next night. Woman's still screaming.
Well, this time she should be.
No music playing either.
They didn't want to play that goofy-ass music for this win. They didn't want to win that shit.
Oh, it's time for a promo. I mean, not for nothing. When you have a guy like him, he should be the fucking world champion.
At least for a bit. Like,
yeah. I mean, that was the most dominant win you could do. Ric Flair put him over. Oh, this is also when the Giant was able to put the belt around his waist.
I'll tell you, this is when, you know, when you're a real gentleman, you're supposed to fold your belt. You carry it. You don't wear it. You carry it. That's what real gentlemen do. Real men carry their belt.
You can do that in the NWA. This is fucking WCW. After what happened last week here on Mike Nitro, this one had to come down. I didn't think it would end up this way, however. You know me, G! If he would have said, you know what, me, I would have died. They liked it.
Yeah, they liked it.
They're cheering you. They think you're a face. Sting, Macho Man, come on, come on. At the hands of the Giant, you doggone sure are gonna fall. Ah! All right, ladies and gentlemen, in the history books,
We made sure we had to add that scream at the end. We have to punctuate that.
Hulk Hogan is at home watching this tonight. Eric Bischoff, Bobby Heenan, Mongo.
Hogan!
I thought you'd fucking throw up the middle finger.
Fuck you!
The dog has not moved.
That dog is on
fucking... Look at Bobby's face. You know, because he's a McFram mark.
That dog is on Prozac or some shit like that. He's on Vicodin. Look, he's using the dog as a puppet. Like
Randy Savage on the back of his mind and Slamboree. But for the Giant to come out of the figure four and take his hands and choke
up, show's over. Everybody's leaving.
And guess what? It is Sting, and it is the Giant, the World Heavyweight Title.
Wow. The line. I'm mesmerized by that dog. That dog just does not look like it's
oh so
alive.
So Slamboree's coming up. So the match is now. Sting is. Flipped. I don't know. Well, changed. The world title match was supposed to be Flair and Macho, but now that's not a world title match anymore.
Now it's Giant and Macho?
No, now it's Giant and Sting is the world title match because that was the original match.
Oh, okay.
So fast, those girls couldn't do anything about it. Usually, woman's got some coffee.
Usually, back then, they would change the match and piss everybody off.
That was great. They were standing there stupefied.
Well, you wait to Slamboree. You wait and see what happens. You wait and see who's going to be the Lord of the Ring. I bet you it's going to be Ric Flair.
All right, we're going to be back next week. We'll be talking about Slamboree. We'll be talking about the Road Warriors facing each other. The Steiners facing each other.
Mongo really held that dog the whole show, did he?
Yep.
See you next week.
Wow. So what have we learned from this episode?
That putting Giants over is probably best for business.
Right. What else we learned? That Rick doesn't get his hair cut at Supercuts. Definitely. Stevie Ray and Lex Luger are not the happiest individuals at this time.
They don't give a fuck. Booker right. and Sting actually care.
Right. Powerhouse Hobbs' uncle might have been a wrestler back in the days.
Named Ice Train.
Right. That could have been his uncle.
And Elizabeth might have a thumb up her ass for all of her performance.
And woman is a New York 5 and a Jersey 9.
Yep.
All right. So what are we looking for next episode?
The next episode number we are doing is May 27, 1996, which is going to be the debut of the Batman. Where he interrupts a match, basically.
Okay.
In his famous Gene on Gene outfit.
So this is the beginning of the extended Nitrover episodes because we are 2 hours
and,
now.
And when we watch that episode, Jay, we're gonna play a little game of WWF right to sue? Because they're like, oh, he was basically playing our character, and all these years later, Kevin Nash is like, that was just him playing him.
Right.
No,
right.
It wasn't. It was God playing Razor Ramon on TV on WCW.
Okay. So, which, by the way, they did win.
Yep.
Yeah, they did win. So, all right. That's going to wrap up our Nitro episode. Homebook Mike, as always, coming in each month with our Nitros. I always enjoy these segments because it has me to walk down memory lane. And I've always told people that I'm not the wrestling aficionado that some people are with the memory for this shit. I think it's kind of fucking sick. People are that fucking
Louis.
Yeah. And it's like no, that happened during the Jam Slamboree 1998 when such, and I'm like, I would not even fucking recall that. All right. It's a lot of weed, a lot of alcohol, a lot of barbiturates that were involved during that time, and I don't remember shit. But no, this is always fun. It's always a walk down memory lane, and it reminds me. Oh shit, I do remember that. Okay,
yeah.
But
now the next couple of episodes is when business starts to pick up and it gets the bulks gets crazier and the matches get a little better.
Okay, because we celebrated the 25th anniversary of NWO this past year, so this is we're right on cue.
That's
to start leading up.
Started.
All right, guys. So we're gonna wrap up this week's episode, and we're gonna have much more for you guys in the next coming weeks or so. So guys. Check you guys later in Homebook Mike. Thanks again for partaking.
Till next time.
Later.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.